All right, the book of Genesis, Bereshith. Bereshith. What's that mean, Karen? Bereshith.
In one of the beginnings.
All right, in one of the beginnings. Brother Roger, break it down.
Well, the first person singular.
Bereshith.
Masculine.
Yeah. Bereshith.
Bereshith. Plural.
Plural, yes. Why is it plural? Why is Bereshith plural?
Because of the tav on the end.
Because of the tav on the end of it, okay. Now, on page 88, it tells you all about the first letter. And what is that?
Beth.
Beth. All right. And that means in, doesn't it? That's a preposition. In. And then Rosh. Rosh.
That's head.
Head. All right. So that means in beginnings. Mm-hmm. All right. Because it's plural. In beginnings. Now, we don't say in one of the in beginnings is what it says. In one of the beginnings or in one beginning. All right. He had created Elohim, the heavens and the earth. All right, that's Bereshith. That's the Genesis is the book of beginnings. Now, in Genesis, the sixth chapter, we got up to verse 4 last week, but we're going to go back and look at it again because we're going to look at it from Hebrew and we're going to look at it from Greek both. Both languages. And I brought the Jewish Publication Society book with me also. And I'm going to read their translation of it. We're going to look at the Greek Septuagint. And we're going to read that. And we're going to look at these things.
6:14,
you say? 6 and verse 1 through 4 is where we ended. We're going to look at this. Then I'm going to go to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means what? What kind of a word is Deuteronomy?
Greek.
That's a Greek word, not English. All of the Old Testament is not, the books of the Bible are not named from the Hebrew Bible, but from the Greek Septuagint, because that's where we have it. Jerome translated it like that. All right, let's look at this 6 and 1. Wayihi, ki hahel, ha'adam, the rov, al panay, ha'adam, yuvanoth, yul iledu, and that's that kind of that daleth in there, that's a DH sound in it, Brother Roger. Yuladu, du, like D-H, do. And then lehem. Mm-hmm. All right. And it came to pass, or it became. All right. It became. And it kept on becoming. When this word here, hekel. Tell me about that, Brother Vincent, that word hekel. You remember a couple of weeks ago when I taught about that? Remember what that word is, Brother Ray? You remember that word? Okay, Genesis 6 and 1. Okay. All right, Sharon, tell me about that word.
That's real wickedness, right? The dishonor.
Mm-hmm.
The profane, sexually defile.
Yeah, they had all of these things to pollute, profane, sexually defile. Third person singular, hifel, perfect. They had done this, hadn't they? All right, began to profane mankind, and it says to become many, lerov, al panay, upon the faces of the ground of the earth. Yuvanoth, it says, and daughters, yuladu, they were born to them. That word up there, hakel, there's a Arabic word, hala. You remember what that one meant? Hala? The Arabic word. Hala, Brother Ray. Come on, you now. This is a test tonight. We're going back over to see what you got. How about it, Brother Vincent?
I don't know that.
Marilyn. That means to untie, to undo, to loosen, to have no obligations, to make, to break and violate and dishonor covenants. Okay? It means to violate a covenant and also begin to bring to an end, to destroy. That's what that word Hillel, Hekel means.
Hekel?
Hekel. Hekel. Now the word Shalel and the Hala Arabic, remember, it means to undo, to destroy, to dismember. Brother Roger, we went deeper this time, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
You like that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. 6 and verse 2 now. Wayiru. Bnei ha'elhim et benoth Adam ki tovoth hana wayitu nashim mikol asher bacharu. And they saw and they kept on seeing the sons of God. Who are the sons of God here? Remember that, Brother Vincent? The sons of God. Who were these guys? What?
Those, the angels.
The angels. How many places in the Old Testament is it used as angels? Everywhere.
Everywhere?
Everywhere. All over. That's what, in the book of Job, different places, we looked at the different ones, and I'm doing is recapping this. So you get there. Brother Roger wasn't here anyway. See, he didn't get all of that. We're recapping this.
They refer to Jesus as the Son of God. Is that different? Or is
the
that,
Son of God.
Okay, that's they're like a definite article?
Yeah, the Son of God. He was the
God
Son
of God.
Yeah, in the New Testament, it's different. Because in the Old Testament, the angels are called sons of God.
In the New Testament, sometimes it refers to God's people too, right?
Yeah, God's people.
Okay.
But
so
not
in the Old Testament.
Yeah, but not in the Old Testament.
Okay.
The sons of God here are angels. And the book of Job and Jude. Now, Jude talks about this. 2 Peter talks about this. Numbers, 1 Peter 5 and 8, Deuteronomy 9, 2, 128. The book of Job, the first chapter, which we went there, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
The book of Job, didn't we go to the book of Job, the first chapter, and reread some of that? And they saw and kept on seeing the sons of God, the daughters of mankind. That's mankind there. Mankind. Because it's making this the daughters of mankind. It's not just man. This is mankind. Human beings. The human beings' daughters. That beautiful, pleasurable. They and they took and kept on taking for themselves wives from all which they had chosen. Now remember, last week I brought the book of Enoch. The last time. And we read the book of Enoch, and we named the angels that actually did this, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
We named the angels. Enoch tells you who did this. Now let me read from the Jewish Publication Society, and it says, 6 and verse 1, and this is their translation into English, and when men began to increase on the earth, daughters were born to them, and the divine beings, the supernatural beings, it doesn't say men, does it? Sons of God or anything like that. A lot of people try to say this is the faith line. These are the saved people.
Right.
Okay, but it's talking about the divine beings, the sons of God, saw how beautiful the daughters of men were and took wives from among those that pleased them. And verse number 3. And we're going to go back in the Septuagint, the Greek translation from the Hebrew, and see what it says. And there's a word in here that just absolutely just blew me away. Just one word that just jumps out sometimes when you're looking at the original language. Kabam! Explosion. A bomb of information. Wayomer Hadabar 6 and 3.
Yeah.
Low.
Yadon.
Uke. Va'adam. Li'olam. Bishagam. Hu. Basar. Wihya. Yomo. Mia. Yeshurim. Shana. And he said and kept on saying Jehovah. I am not going to keep on combating. I'm not going to keep on combating and fighting and judging and striving and ruling my spirit in man. Forever. Forever. Li olam. Look at that word, Brother Roger. What does that mean?
It can be eternity.
Yeah, eternity. I'm not going to do this forever. That word's very important. We're going to see this word again. Le olam. Forever. Now, what would it be in Greek? Ionion. Isn't it? Ionion. That means forever. Ages upon ages. Okay. My spirit in man forever. In their running wild. There's the word. Bishagam. In their running wild. That's Cal infinitive construct. He flesh. Mankind is flesh. And even their progeny of these things is flesh. Isn't it? Flesh. So in other words, if you're flesh, it means you can be terminated. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
What does terminated mean?
Dead.
Huh? Dead. You can be killed. It's possible to kill you. Okay?
Jim.
Yes.
Just got a quick question. Take a step back for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, expound on that word strive. My spirit shall not strive with man. You said to rule in.
That meant the strive, that means to try to rule over them. It means to try to combat with them. It means to fight. That word there, to fight. And that word is yodom, yodon lo. Yodon lo. Yodon. Lo yodon.
So he's fighting, meaning that he's going to allow him to practice free will, or he's always.
He's going to quit fighting with them.
Right.
Okay.
He's going to quit striving with him. He's not going to do that anymore. It's over with.
Curtains.
It's curtains now. The end is near. You know? Not Allah Akbar either. The end is near. What does Allah Akbar mean? That is blasphemy, isn't it? Why is it blasphemy? Allah Akbar.
Don't the Muslims use that word?
That's right. When they get ready to kill somebody and when they do, their minaret says, Allah Akbar.
Right. I've heard that term.
Okay. It means Allah is greater. Greater than what?
Than God.
Than God.
Wow. Yeah, that is blasphemy.
Greater than Elohim. Greater than Jehovah. That word there, that is blasphemy. Okay. Allah Akbar. Forever. Not going to keep on doing this. In their running wild, that word is running, it means to run wild. It means to go out of boundaries. In their running wild, he flesh, or since he is flesh. And his days shall be 120 years. Now, what does this mean? How do people misinterpret this, Sharon?
Well, the interpretation can be that's the lifestyle.
That is a lifetime of a man. That's not what it's talking about.
No, he's given him 120 years and he's done.
120 years to stop this.
Mm.
That's it. 120 years. Mm-hmm. It's over. Okay, 6 and verse 4 now, and then we're going to go back and read it in the Septuagint. This really cool in the Septuagint too. Ha-Nephilim. Hayu. Va'aretz. What's the next word, brother?
Bayomim.
I love that. You don't know how much I love when I hear you to pronounce these words. Bayanim. And then the next one?
Elohim.
Hahim.
Hahim.
And then the next one?
Wigam.
Yeah. Wigam. Ashere. Ken. Asher. Yavu. Benay. Ha Elohim. El. Benoth. Ha Adam. We Yeladu. Lehem. Hema. Hagiborim. Asher. We Olam. You're supposed to read this next one, brother. Anshi. Anshi. And then what? Hashem. Hashem. I love, you're starting to learn this, Brother Ray. This is really important to me. You're my replacement, you know.
All right. When you leave, I'm out of here, too.
All right. Ha Nephilim. Nephilim means what, Brother Roger?
Fallen ones.
Fallen ones. Comes from Nephele, doesn't it? So, the fallen ones. These fallen ones. These fallen ones, they had become upon the earth. The fallen ones had become upon the earth. What is this? The Nephilim. Who is the Nephilim? What are the Nephilim?
Fallen angels.
No, they're the progeny of fallen angels.
Oh, okay.
With womankind. Okay? The progeny of these Nephilim were monsters, abnormalities. Miscarried, so to speak. Let me read this to you from the Greek. Kai egeneto enika exanto hoi anthropoi poloi. Geneste epitesges kai thigateras egeneson autois edontes. I need two magnifying glasses with this. And became and when it became and began men, many, to become upon the earth, epitesges, daughters kept on being born to them. And it says, as Odentes, and they were beholding them, de hoi huio huio, hoi huioi, to theu, the sons of God. These are the angels, okay? The sons of God. And the daughters of the mankind, that kale essen, that good, beautiful they were. Delicious. That's the word. And they took and kept on taking for themselves women from all of whom they picked out. All of whom they had kept on picking out. Ex elexanto. Kai epe kyrios hosios u me karamene to numa mu entois, anthropois, tutois, dia, to, ene, autos, sarkis, esonte, de, ho, hemera, auto, ekonton, ekesen, ete. And it says, and then said the Lord, the God, Kyrios Hothios. Now, in the Hebrew, this would be Jehovah God, Jehovah the Elohim. Know not, in no way shall down under my spirit. These things were vexing God. Did you know that? These things were vexing God. Do you think the devil has ever vexed God? Did he ever vex Jesus?
Yeah.
You're not going to keep on vexing me. You're not going to remain and keep on vexing me and my spirit, the spirit of me, in these mankind, these men, because of or on account of their being flesh. And shall be the days of them 120 years. Now we all got up to 6 and 4 in the Hebrew, didn't we? The Nephilim. Now let's see what the Greek Septuagint says about the Nephilim. Let's see what the Greek says about the Nephilim. All right. Hoi de gigantes. Eison epites geis entes emeros echines kai met echino hos on ase puronte u huiotuthiu. Prostas digatas tu anthropon kai ek nison hiatos. Echinoi eison hoi gigantes hoi op iones hoi anthropoi in onomastoi. This is what it says translated here. And the ones giants. Gigantes. We got a word giant right out of this, don't we? Now they're giants here. And the ones giants. Let's go to Deuteronomy real quick before we go any further in here. We're going to go back. Deuteronomy, the third chapter, and we're going to read several verses here. And I want to tell you something. To kill a Nephilim takes supernatural power. I want you to understand that. You can't kill them with a big spear or arrows.
Not even a silver bullet, huh?
Or not a silver bullet. Not a Gatling gun or anything. They're hard to kill. Then we turned and went up to the road to Bashan. And Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, and he and all his people at the battle of Edrei. And the Lord said to me, do not fear him, for I have given him and all his people and his land into your hand. And you shall do to them as you did to Sihon, the king of the Amorites, that lived in Heshbon. And the Lord our God, so the Lord our God gave into our hands Og, also the king of Bashan, and all his people, and we smote him until not one was left to him. And we took all his cities. Now this is supernatural power. It's not great strategy or anything else. This is the power of God. And we took all the cities that were at that time, and there was not a city which we did not take from them. 60 cities. I forgot to put my glasses on, my reading glasses. I'm trying to read without reading glasses, which doesn't work very well with me. And all the cities were fortified. There were all the cities. There were 60 cities, the whole region of Argob, the kingdom of Og and Bashan. And all these cities were fortified with high and haughty walls and gates and bars, besides a great many unwalled villages. And we utterly destroyed them, as we did Sihon, the king of Heshbon, utterly destroying every city, men, women, and children. This is very cruel, isn't it? Doesn't tell you here they were killing the animals, too. Why? Why would all of these people being killed?
Disease.
They were buried. The syphilis and all of the venereal diseases, this is where its origin were, right here. There was all kinds of diseases in here. And not only that, these people were a procreated from giants.
Yeah.
Okay? And we're going to see how big this giant Og was. But all the cattle and the spoil of the cities we took for booty and ourselves. We took the land at that time. Now sometimes God would tell them, don't you do anything, kill the cattle, huh? And burn them. But here he says you can take the cattle. So we took the land at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond Jordan from the valley of Arnon to Mount Hermon. The Sidonians call Hermon Sirion, and the Amorites call it Senir. All the cities in the plain of all the Galilee and all Bashan as far as Selika and Edrei, cities of kingdom of Gog and Bashan. For only Og, the king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the gigantic, this is the word, the same word in the Septuagint of the giants, gigantes. Rephaim. Rephaim are also hybrids. Behold, his bedstead was of iron. He couldn't be made out of wood. Wood wouldn't hold a guy. It is splinter. His bedstead was made out of iron and is not in Rabbah of the Ammonites. In other words, it was at the writing of this. His bed was still there. The bed was 13.5 feet long. You can write that down if you want to. 13.5 feet long. By 6 feet wide. And it says, using the cubit of a man and the forearm to the end of his middle finger, that's that much. 18 inches, basically, is what it is. So it was 13.5 feet by 6 feet wide. That's a big bed. That would take up most of the space between here and that wall. You realize that?
The ceiling is only 10.
Yeah. Look at this. 13 feet from here to that wall back there, and 6 feet wide. That's a giant, people. That's a giant. He's a big guy. Its breadth using the cubit of man, and when we took possession of this land, I gave to the Reubenites. Reubenites, what does Reuben mean, Brother Roger? Huh? Reuben, Reuven. See a son. See a son. All right, that was, you know, the first child, the Reubenites, and the Gadites, the territory to Aroer, which is by the edge of the valley of Arnon, and half the hill country to Gilead and its cities, and the rest of Gilead and all of Bashan, the kingdom of Og, that is all the region of Argob, with all Bashan I gave to the half tribe of Manasseh, and it is called the land of Rephaim, the land of the giants. The land of the giants. That's what that means. The land of the giants. Now let's go back. We read this in Hebrew, didn't we? And I told you I was going to bring the Septuagint and the Greek, and we would look at it in Greek. There are some things here in Greek that are fantastic. And the Nephilim, they became upon the earth in days those, and also afterwards, achare, thusly, which they kept on and continued coming into the sons of the God unto the daughters. In other words, remember what I said, it literally depicts the act of sex. That's what it's talking about. They kept on coming into these, penetrating these women. And it says, the mankind, and they birthed to them the Hagiborim. And that word there, that means one who magnifies himself over everybody else. This is a very famous person, what was Billy the Kid famous for? Killing people. Outlaw. And he was a famous killer of men. How about John Wesley Hardin? He probably killed more men than anyone back there in that period of time. He killed over 40 men. He loved killing people. John Wesley Hardin. I have a book written by him. These people were vicious people. They were killers of mankind. Genghis Khan. Genghis Khan. You know that that he killed and raped the whole Asia, basically. You know that it would be very unusual if you didn't have Genghis Khan's blood in you. Did you know that? All of the Oriental people, the Asian people, have Genghis Khan's blood in them. He would go in and they'd ride into these villages and he would rape all the women that he could rape. He was famous. Genghis Khan was a raper and pillager of mankind. And his blood, now they trace nearly 1 out of 10 people at least go directly back to Genghis Khan upon the face of the earth. Think about that.
I'm going to have my DNA then.
You're not going to have it. I can guarantee you're related to Genghis Khan. I am. My blood goes right back there. I haven't pillaged and raped anybody lately, but not lately. Not his habit. And he bore to them those, the heroes, the Hagiborim, the heroes which from eternity. Did you hear what I said?
From eternity.
Me Olam. Where did these people originate? Where did these heroes' fathers come from? When did God create the angels? In eternity past. So they came from eternity past. The fathers of these beings came from eternity past. And it says that in the Greek too. And the giants, the gigantes, they kept on being upon the earth in the days, and with that one as continually kept on entering into the sons of the God, the daughters. They kept, and still it says, they kept on raping them. They kept on cohabiting with them, the men, and procreating for themselves those. They kept on being the giants, the ones from eternity. The ones from ages ago. Where did they come from? The fallen angels from the past, from eternity past. The fallen angels from eternity past. The mankind. And then it says the ones onomasastoi. The ones of great renown. These are sons of the angels. Sons of the angels of eternity past. Do you have any questions? Sharon, is this mind-boggling? It's they were vicious, weren't they? Now, what were they doing, Brother Ray? What were these people doing?
I didn't worry what they did not doing.
They did everything that was bad, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Everything that was bad. Now, the last class we studied about the four brothers of Goliath, and who they were. Now, did it take supernatural power to kill them?
Yes.
Yes. Did one of them almost kill David?
Yes.
Yes. They were. David took how many stones?
Five
stones. How many giants was he going to kill? Five. Every one of them would have been supernaturally a heat-sinking missile, so to speak. Every one of them. But they, at that time, the Philistines. What does Philistine mean? Brother Roger, you remember that word?
From the sea.
Philistines. What does Philistine mean? Oh. Come on now. You almost got it, but you got the wrong root.
Oh.
Sharon.
I have it written down here. Uncultured heathen.
Uncivilized, uncouth. uncivilized, uncouth. What's the other word you brought used?
Uncultured heathens.
Heathens. Yeah. Heathens, you know.
Heathens.
Is that what your grandfather called heathens?
Mm-hmm. He called them things.
Things. Their Philistine means uncouth, uncivilized, uncultured. No culture, no civilization. In other words, just savage people. Savage people. Now, let's look at some of the names of these giants. We have one of them called Gog, don't we? All right. Og, that is. And we have one called Goliath. All right. Now, what does Goliath mean? You remember what it means? Goliath? Well, come on, Brother Ray. Did you get that down? Goliath. Mm-hmm. That means to uncover. And then how about Ishbi-benob? That was one of his brothers. 2 Samuel 21, 16 and 17. And Ishbi-benob was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. He, being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David, but Ishbi-benob, the son of Zeruiah, drew him away and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore unto each other, saying, "You shall not go out with us to battle any longer, that unless the light of Israel be put out." All right, that's why they made him stay home. Now, what does this Ishbi-benob mean?
Ish is man.
It means to take captive. To take captive.
Jim, what was that verse you read in 2 Samuel?
2 Samuel 21, 16 and 17.
Right.
1 Samuel 17, 4 talks about Goliath. And then 2 Samuel 21, 18 and 1 Chronicles 20 and verse 4, we have another couple of these giants. Okay? And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines. Of who? What's Philistines mean? Those uncouth savages.
Uncivilized.
Okay.
Uncivilized.
Uncivilized, uncouth savages at Gob. Then Sibekai the Hushite slew Saph, S-A-P-H, Saph. That's in 2 Samuel 21 and 18. And Shebachai, the Hushite, slew Saph. Saph means what? Remember what Saph means? It means moss. Moss or reeds or rush. A mossy land. A swamp land. Swampy person. You know the swamp monsters? Remember? In the movies, those sci-fi movies, the swamp monster.
And the swamp thing.
Yeah. Now this is it. He's from the swamp lands, which the sons of the giant, he was one of the sons of the giant. In 1 Chronicles 24, and it came to pass after this, that there arose a war at Gezer with the uncivilized, uncouth savages, the Philistines, at which time Shebechai the Hushite slew Sipai. Sipai. That was the children of the giant, and they were subdued. Now, this word here, Sipai, means to slap. And it means to break in, to cross the threshold. All right? To cross the threshold. It also means a silver cup. A silver cup was a diviner's cup. What was one of the things that the fallen angels taught mankind? To divine. That means the soothsayers. How to divine and part roots. and what kind of drugs to play with. Drug addicts. These giants were drug addicts. You learning something tonight? A little bit? 2 Samuel 21, 19, and 1 Chronicles 20 and verse 5. And there was again a battle at Gob with the Philistines. The Philistines are who? The uncouth, the uncivilized savages. Where Elhanan, the son of Jairigim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite. And the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was a war again with the Philistines. Elhanan, the son of Jair, slew Lomni, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite. Lomni. Lomni means my bread or spoils of war. They were after booty. They lived off of war. How did he support his Islamic people? Did they work? Huh?
Attacking caravans
and robbing and murdering, raping, pillaging, and kidnapping and asking for ransom. That's how he supported himself and his people. All right, let's go on a little bit further. 2 Samuel 21, 20 and 21, and 1 Chronicles 26 and 7. And there was yet a battle in Gath, and there was a man of great stature, and every hand had six fingers, and every foot had six toes, 24 in number, and he also born to the giant. And when he defiled Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, the brother of David, slew him. Now, did you know that there is a race of Bigfoots? Sasquatch that has six fingers and six toes. Did you know that? When we saw that Bigfoot up there, when my son and I saw it, he wanted to get out and track it. And I'm a pretty good tracker, aren't I, Marilyn? I can track things. Yeah. One time, you know, the neighbor's chickens got lost, and I said, and they didn't know where they were. What did I do?
Went out and found them.
I went out there and tracked them. And found them. I could track them, but I wasn't going to track that thing. Because I just felt like there was nothing I could do to protect myself or to harm it. And I had a .44 Magnum sitting right there in the seat. Some of you saw that big .44 Magnum that I have. That's what it was, a big .44 Magnum like that. And I was unarmed as far as I was concerned. I think it takes supernatural power to kill them. And you don't find any dead ones anywhere, do you? Hmm? Mm-hmm. Now, did the Nephilim, how long did they live?
Until the flood.
They lived to the flood, but they were afterwards. And how long did they live afterwards? Until they were terminated supernaturally, divinely. I don't know why they'd ever die. Because angels don't die, do they? Mm-mm. Would Jesus have ever died?
No.
No. That divine blood in him, that supernatural blood in him, Vincent.
So then would it be safe to say that a Nephilim can actually go to hell?
Can I actually go to hell?
Right.
They're an unusual creature.
Because they're not human, 100% human.
No. But they will be damned. Their spirits will be damned. And the Bible says things about that also. And I covered that in one of my classes before, where we went and saw that they did not have a resurrection from the flesh part of it. But they were like demons in hell. Okay? Now let me ask you something. How many angels went with Lucifer? One third. How many of the spirits went with him? One third. Now how many stayed with God? Two thirds. So we got two against one, don't we? Now, how, if you were Lucifer and you wanted to build your armies, how could you do it?
Multiply your numbers.
How would you multiply?
You would try to turn the other
human race.
No. By procreating through humankind.
Oh.
And building up the numbers. Building up the numbers. And yet again, there was a war at Gath, where was a man of great stature whose fingers and toes were of 24 and 24 in all, and 6 on each finger, hand, and 6 on each foot. And he also was the son of the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan the son of Shimei, David's brother, slew him. So we see all of these. These are real people, aren't they? Now, by the way, if you want to look up the word Goliath, it's on page 444 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Okay? And if you want to look up Saf, that's on page 706. 706. And if you want to look up Lami, that's on 537. Let's go on a little bit further now. Did we see more this time than we did the last time? There is a time element to learning, and not only that. You have to go from the known to the unknown. So you have to lay a foundation. And the seven laws of teaching, did you ever learn that, Brother Ray, the seven laws of teaching?
Are you talking about hermeneutics?
No, the seven laws of teaching. They used to teach that in the seminary. The seven laws of teaching, Dr. Carl Ferrar taught that. The seven laws of teaching, you take your students back what they have learned and see how much they learned. Did I do that? And then one step at a time, you lay new ground and lay new thoughts, one step at a time. And you go back and you spend the first 20 minutes at least in each class going back over and finding out if they got it. Because if they didn't get it, you go back and throw it at them again until they get it. And then you make one step at a time into new ground. Did you get something new tonight? We studied it before, but did you get something new out of it? Did you get something new? All right. Do you have any questions?
Well, funny you say that, because that's exactly what I do tomorrow in the Bible study. I'll go back to the front gate and see what they remember.
Yeah, that's right. Seven laws of teaching, you go back and review. Find out what they know. And if you've got somebody there that doesn't know something, you've got to get them what we call introduced, familiar with it, and go on, because you want everybody in the class involved. I used to, Brother Ray, how many times when I was your pastor 38 years ago, did I call people's names and ask them questions by name?
Quite a few times.
Uh-huh. I didn't leave them alone, did I? Pestered them to death. Did I do that tonight? Huh? I left you alone, Carol. But I'm not finished with you yet. Did you learn something new tonight? What did you get tonight? A lot about the Nephilim. And what does Nephilim mean?
Fallen ones.
Now, are you starting to see what their names meant? The swamp monster? Huh? The swamp monster and all of this? And we see the swamp man. What was it? There was a movie they made in the sci-fi movie. Something from the swamp.
Creature of the Black Lagoon.
Oh, the Creature of the Black Lagoon. And here we go. This is what we got. And verse number 5. Wayar, Hadavar, Ki, Rabah, Ra'ath, Ha'adam, Ba'aretz, we call Yetzer, Ma'chaveh, Ma'chivot, Debar, Rock, Ra, Kol, Hayom. My pages are written so much I can't hardly even read. And saw and kept on seeing Jehovah that Rabbah, Rabbah. What does Rabbah mean, brother?
Evil.
Rabbah. Well, right here, It means over and over and over, multiply over and over and over. This means to repeat. Remember the old vinyl records? And sometimes they get a scratch on them and go boop, 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 over and over. That's what this means right here. Repeat, 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 repeat. Repeated, kept on repeating the ra'yah, ra'yah, the wickedness of mankind, of humanity. And then it says, in the earth, and all, every purpose, every thought. It says, hi, kake, all the wickedness, every Adamic evil, and every supernatural evil thing, the thoughts, the imagination, the dream ways, the dreamings and weavings. This here means to weave a dream. To weave a dream. To dream wickedness. In his heart, lavo. That word lavo there means heart, and it also means love. They love to do wickedness. They love to do wickedness. The shapings of their thoughts and the forming of their thoughts. And the hot rock, it means to just stir up things, stir up waters. Evil, all the entire day. The hearts of them were evil. Let's go back and read that in the Septuagint. And beholding, seeing, Edom, the Lord, the God, Jehovah the Elohim, that they were multiplying the evil thoughts and wicked ways of mankind upon the earth. And all the imaginations, this means that dia nute te. Here we have, dia means through, and nous means to think. All of their thinking was wicked, and in the heart of them that they diligently thought and divined and imagined upon crooked, wicked things all the day, every day. That word is poneria there.
Yeah.
Ponera. Ponera means what?
Extremely wicked.
That's where we get the word prostitution. Mm-hmm. We get the word homosexuality. We get the word perversion and everything in it, and wickedness to its extreme polished degree. All the days. And then God was going to do something after that. All right. Do you have any questions? Any questions? Yes.
I would like to know if they were having children, but the women that were on the earth, wouldn't God have something to do with allowing that to form, the little fetus to form? Couldn't he control that?
Marilyn, God set laws in order, and he does not change his laws in order.
Well,
I mean,
he could cause problems where they wouldn't come about.
This is what we call God's what? Permissive will. He permitted it.
Mm-hmm.
In Genesis 3:15, what is the promise there, Brother Roger? You remember that one?
He's going to have his child versus Satan's child.
It says, I will put enmity between your seed. Whose seed? Satan's.
Mm-hmm.
Satan's seeds and the woman's seed. Satan's seed is all of these Nephilim. Okay? And there have been maybe religious leaders in the world that were born of him. Maybe. Can you imagine that?
Okay.
Some of them were pretty smart and wicked, weren't they? And then in the last days, Satan will have a literal son from a woman. You heard of Rosemary's Baby and all of this type of things. You see this. This is real. This isn't somebody's imagination. They got this from the book. So what's going to happen? And so many people that don't believe in these Nephilim and giants that were progeny of angels and womankind, what does Genesis 3:15 say? What does it say? Do you believe the Bible? Now, I believe the Bible literally, unless there's a figure of speech involved there. And that's no figure of speech. That's literal in it. And Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 2:2, Genesis 1 and 2. Was the earth created formless and void? No. What's the Bible say? I had one guy here a long time ago. He believes in a young earth and all of this. And he says, I've got to have a talk with you. Why do you believe what you believe? I said, I know Hebrew and Greek. The Hebrew Bible just doesn't let you off, does it, brother? No, it doesn't turn you loose, does it? Did God create the heaven and the earth perfect? And when did he do it? In eternity past, not in space and time. Not in the 6,000 or so years that mankind has been on the earth. It happened back in eternity past when these angels were created. When did these progeny, who were their fathers, when they were they created? In eternity past. That's what it said, isn't it? Did you get that one? Olam? Ione? So you see these things and you...
So he allowed it?
He allowed it, yes. Did he allow Satan to tempt Jesus? Did he allow Satan to go in the garden and tempt a woman?
Yeah.
Whose fault was that?
Adam's
fault. Because he was supposed to guard that woman, wasn't he, that God gave him over.
He was supposed to guard that snake, too.
Yeah. He was over all of that. That was his job. He didn't do his job. He was a lazy bummer. As my step-grandfather used to say, a lazy bummer. All right. Let's have a song, Brother Vincent. Now, if you're out there and you don't know the Lord is your Savior, you've got all these forces of evil right at you, and you're part of it because that is your father. Lucifer is your father. He's either God is your father or Lucifer is your father, one or the other. Now, if you don't know the Lord, you need to be saved. Whether you're in Australia, Timbuktu, Africa, China, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, or wherever, and we have downloads in all of these countries, don't we? This last month, we had downloads in all 50 states and 70 countries. This last month. So we reached them, didn't we?
Yeah.
All of these, and I can guarantee, I can show you what these were downloaded. If you're out there in one of these countries that don't allow Christianity in the midst of it, well, you can be saved too. You can be saved.
Amen.
Brother Vincent, what song do we have?
569. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed, but you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and at peace as we rest as you yield in your body and soul.
Brother Ray, did you get the emails that I sent you from the Philippines and from Australia and all over?
Yeah, I seen them this morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want us to say hi to Marna in Australia and Dawn and her family, the Grimbigs, all right? Yes. Oh, there we got the picture up on the wall. That's them right there on the wall. We got the picture right in here of them. And then from the Philippines, we want to say hi to all of them and the Missionary Baptist churches over there in the Philippines that listen to our messages all the time, and to China, and to Africa, South Africa, Japan, all of the different places in the world where we reach, India. Remember one time I had one of the students that had been listening to our messages in India came in, and he happened to be our speaker in our Areopagus Sunday School class at Valley Baptist Church. And he looked at the deal. Dr. Phillips, are you the Dr. Phillips and discover the word .com? I said, yeah. We study your stuff all the time. Every preacher over there has got to study your stuff. This is what we they asked me if they could make copies of the lessons and send them out to all the people in India. And so we are all over the world. And God bless all of you out there. We love all of you. And thousands and thousands. It's 1.25 million visitors that we've had on the website. Over 1.25 million. That's a lot of people. Amen. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we sent this message out tonight to honor and glorify you. And I pray if there's one out there that doesn't know you, that you will convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come until they surrender their lives and their hearts to you, and we lay our hearts at your feet also. Use us as you wish. If there's someone out there not serving you, help them to give and serve in any way, even like people have to from on the other side of the world, because we're all the church that they have. Father, forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.